Okay. Good evening, everyone, and welcome. It's great to be together with you. And we have an exciting guest all the way from Eretz Yisrael, from the land of Israel. Good evening, everyone. And yes, that's going to be a great evening. So tonight's topic is health and overall well-being, nutrition, with a rabbi and an expert. We have the rabbi, Rabbi Gerari, who's going to give us the Jewish perspective, the Torah perspective on exercise and nutrition and health and healthy lifestyle. And then we have with us our good friend, Juliet Vesely, all the way from Israel, who is an accredited exercise physiologist and behavior change health coach. She now lives in Jerusalem. She works as both an exercise physiologist and a lecturer in her own personal trainer teaching academy. And she added in her bio, I'm not sure if she sent this to everybody, but she says, even while living in Israel, Juliet remains a proud member of the Bina community. I assume that whenever you you speak, you put that as part of your bio. So that's great to have you as a proud member of the Bina community. So we're first going to ask Rabbi Gerari to share with us the Torah view, the Jewish view on healthy living. So welcome everybody and enjoy.
Can you hear me? Just nod me here. Yep, good, thank you. Thank you so much, Rabbi Levy. It's really good to be with you all again for the second part of the series. And it's fantastic. I'm really, really so happy to welcome Juliet Vesely all the way from Israel, who's always, for many, many years, being a very, very big part of Bina. So it's so good to have you present with us together. You know, some good things out of all this business. We can transcend geography and present together on tonight's topic. I have to just on the outset say I'm not an expert on health and well-being and exercise, but I've been nervous about this presentation for the last few weeks, so I need Julia to know that I've actually been really exercising really well. I've been walking and even running up the stairs at Waverly Park a few times every day. I'm getting good at it. So you just you know, before you like, I'm trying to practice what I preach. Anyway, so I've seen a couple of good memes lately, as I'm sure everyone has. You know, like the one that the guy's lying on his bed and he says, I really have to get out of this bed because I'm late for the couch. Or the guy that says, I'm the first person to get a suntan from the light in the fridge. Or the other one I saw was that it's now been recommended that people should wear masks, not only in the street, but at home as well. Not so much to protect you from the virus, but to stop you eating. So while it's all funny, but the truth is that this is actually an important topic. And it's an important topic because it's really important, and not only important physically or health, from a health perspective, but it's important from a spiritual perspective, from a Torah perspective, from a Jewish perspective, to look at well-being, to look at health in a very holistic way. And I'm not going to spend that. I'm really interested in hearing what Juliet has to say. People hear me all the time, but I'm going to just give a little bit of an introduction to this. So we have the fundamental principle that's driving all of this, of course, is a very, very critical principle in Jewish thinking. And that is that the body and the soul are partners, are a partnership, a one holistic partnership that have to create meaning and purpose and purposeful living together, right? You know, it's very fascinating, and I think it's always good to draw inspiration from the time of the year that we're in. So, of course, next week, a week from tomorrow night, we're going to be celebrating the festival of Shavuot. Shavuot is, of course, the time when God gave us the Torah. It was the single, is the most momentous experience in Jewish history, when all of us, 3 million physical people, but all the future souls, stood at Mount Sinai to receive the Torah, to have God appoint us as his nation, to have us become a nation as one. And it really, everything we are today Jewishly, we believe, is defined by the Sinai experience. And one of the things that the commentators tell us about the Sinai experience is that one of the things that happened when Jews stood at Mount Sinai is that Kol HaCholim Nitrapu, all those that were ill, all those that weren't well, became healthy. And the obvious question is, why is that so critical to the process of Mount Sinai. We understand Mount Sinai was a beautiful event. It was an amazing event. It was a momentous historic event. But why is it significantly connected to the concept of getting the Torah, which symbolizes our connection to God and living by the values and the moral compass that the Torah provides for us? Why is that detail so important that people became healthy? And perhaps one of the reasons is that because in order to really express our spirituality, in order to really live a purposeful life, it's a holistic concept, and part of it includes the mitzvah, not only of taking care of our soul, not only in nourishing our soul, not only in giving expression to the divinity and the spirituality and the mitzvot and all the spiritual experiences that our soul guides us with and infuses us with. But it has to go together with physical well-being, emotional well-being, overall well-being. The Rambam Maimonides, of course, tells us that lihiyot haguf bari, that for the body, that the Rambam was, of course, a doctor, and he wrote extensively on health and diet and so on, and exercise, actually, interestingly enough. And he wrote that for the body to be healthy, mi darkei Hashem hu, it is part of the ways of God. It's a mitzvah. One of the mitzvahs that we are given in the Torah is v'nishmartem ma'od nafshotechem. We shall protect our body. We shall look after our health, physical health, physiological health, emotional health, well-being, and so on and so forth. In fact, they tell a story of Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim of Brisk. He was a great halachic sage that lived in the last couple of centuries. He was known for his very strict adherence to meticulously to all areas of Jewish law. But he was also known that when it became to, although he was very strict and always paskin, always ruled sort of on the strict side of halacha, he would be very, very lenient when it came to people who weren't feeling well on Yom Kippur. He had uncharacteristic leniencies when it comes to Yom Kippur of who can eat and how much they can eat and so on and so forth, even beyond his contemporaries of his time, even beyond the rabbi's normal interpretation of mainstream halachic acceptance. And one day someone came to him and said, Reb Chaim, I don't understand. It's very, very out of character for you. Someone who's always so strict about mitzvot, someone who's always so strict, meticulous observance of all halachic concepts, all the mitzvot of the Torah, how come when it comes to the mitzvah, as we all know how strict it is, the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur, or observing Yom Kippur, suddenly you're so lenient? And he answered, and he said, no, you're making a mistake. I'm never lenient. I'm not being lenient on the laws of Yom Kippur. I'm just being strict on the laws of health, the laws of pikuach nefesh, the laws of protecting our health. There's a Hasidic saying printed in a book called the Hayom Yom, and it says that a klein, I'll say it in Yiddish and I'll translate it. It says, a klein loch in guf is a greiser loch in the neshama. A small hole in the body creates a big hole in the soul. If we're not feeling well, if we're not taking care of our health, if we're not trying to feel good on all levels, and all layers of our personality, all layers of the human experience, it becomes impossible to really express our spirituality, it becomes impossible to really serve God properly, and therefore that small hole in the body can create a big hole in the, a small hole in the body can create a big hole in the soul. But the truth is, it's not only about looking after the body so that the soul can have expression. The body itself is important when used properly, because body and soul really become one partner. Body and soul become one entity, because the purpose of creation essentially is actually not the soul. The purpose of creation is the body. What I mean by that, I don't mean the purpose of creation is to enjoy materialism or to feed our body and to eat pizza and to party in bars and so on and so forth. I don't mean that. But the purpose of creation essentially, as we know, as it's taught in Hasidic philosophy and in Kabbalistic writings and so on, is to bring meaning, to bring spirituality, to bring godliness into the physical world. And therefore we find, for example, in Jewish law, that after a person passes away, and we believe so strongly in the eternity of the soul, and we believe so strongly about how the soul is eternal and so on and so forth, but it's not just the soul. We know that in the laws of burial and the laws of preparing a person for burial in Jewish law, there's an incredible respect, an incredible sanctity, an incredible holiness given to the body that has been together with the soul, the body that has worked in partnership with the soul, the body that has worked to achieve higher purposes and higher meaning. because the body also receives tremendous, tremendous holiness, which is why Kabbalistically we are taught that one of the 13 principles of our faith, interestingly enough, we know that faith is the fundamental of Jewish experience, and the Rambam, Maimonides again, outlines the 13 principles of what are the 13 critical principles of our faith. And in fact, those of you who go to shul, we're not all going to shul now, but in Israel, I think there's some yonim already happening. So those of you that are going to shul on a Friday night, or were going to shul on a Friday night, and are familiar with the tune Yigdal Elokim Chai that is often sung at the end of the service, that is a song based on the 13 principles of faith. The last two principles of faith refer to the coming of Mashiach. So the one is an obvious one, the coming of Mashiach, the coming of the ultimate redemption and experiencing ultimate peace in the world and so on and so forth. But the third one is an interesting one. It's part of our faith. In fact, we mention it every time we say the Amidah, is the concept of Tchiyat HaMetim, the resurrection of the dead. It's the time when the bodies, even the bodies that passed away, will be reunited with their souls. And why is it such an important concept? Because according to Nachmanides, the idea of Tchiyat HaMetim is because ultimately that's the purpose of creation. Ultimately, the purpose of creation is to bring God into the physical world, to elevate the physical world, to elevate our bodies and the world around us. And therefore, even though we live for a limited time on this planet, but ultimately when Mashiach comes, we'll be reunited, body and soul will once again be reunited as a partner and continue serving God, and the godliness and the sanctity and the holiness that we brought into that body will be very evident and very obvious, which is why that's the ultimate state, and it's the 13 principles of our faith, and it's the ultimate state of being. So therefore, it's not just that the body is a vehicle for the soul, and the body is sort of subordinate to the soul, which sure, the body should be guided by the values of the soul, but it's also that the body itself is part of the purpose, part of the meaning, to elevate that physical and to invite God into our lives, into our physical lives, into our material lives, into our wholesome experience, and to make him part of everything that we are. In order to do that, however, we have to take care of the existence that God gave us. God gave us an existence. He created birth, he created life that encompasses both a soul and a body, encompasses many layers of our personality, intellectual layers, emotional layers, and so on and so forth. And we have to take care of that gift that God has given us. So that includes health, it includes physical health, it includes emotional health, it includes all parts of health, all part of holistic health and well-being. And that's why this is such an important topic, especially memes aside and jokes aside, especially during a time where it is possible. I see two things are happening now. When I do walk in every morning and I go to Waverly Park, I see a lot of people exercising, which is great. But I know some people have let themselves go. So it's a really important topic, especially during this time. And with that, I'm going to end because I'm really eager to hear what Juliet has to say. Thank you again for everyone for joining us. And over to Rabbi Levi.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're going to hand it over now to Juliet. We're all very excited. And if anybody has any questions, you can either post it in the chat for everyone to see, and Juliet will see it and she can answer it. Or if you more of a private question, you don't want to publicize that you're asking it, you can private message me on the chat as well, and I'll just read it out at the end, so we can make this more interactive. Without further ado.
Okay. Let's open up. I'm just gonna share my slides with you. So give me a second just to get it set up, and hopefully you guys will be able to see it. It is incredible to see these faces. I feel like I should stand up in honor of Donna Dilber because I love you. And my mom and dad, I probably should have mentioned you first. I think mom got all her friends online just to make it look like there's lots of people. But I appreciate all my friends and everyone coming on and family. And I cannot wait to see if some of you walk away and tell me you were inspired and you did make a change. And that would be the biggest nachas I could ever have from you guys. So let's get started, because obviously I've made a slideshow that's way too long for the time period I got given. Yes, I do ask Rabbi Gerari every time he speaks to me if he's walking, simply because the longer he's around, the longer I have a rabbi. So it's really out of my selfishness that I try to keep you as healthy as possible. With that said, your kids, they told me they don't mind that I huck you. So it's all good. Let's get started. Health, nutrition, overall well-being during this time. So I don't know about you, but if someone else walks into a room and tells me they're going to start talking to me about health, wellness, and nutrition, two things happen to me. One, I think, you know what? I don't know if I want to hear all this stuff now. I don't want to feel extra guilty when I walk away. That's number one. Number two is, you know what, I know what to do, I just don't know how to do it. You know, tell me something that I don't know. So the first thing I'm going to tell you guys that I'm hoping might be a little bit new, but maybe hasn't been internalized, is that in order to cause any real behavior change, you need to make sure that you bring along both your head and your heart with it. Okay, so what does that mean? How do I bring my head and my heart along with it? It means that if you really want to convict yourself to something, if you really believe in something, it doesn't help just having the evidence to tell yourself, you know, this is bad for me, I shouldn't do this, stay away from this. And it doesn't help just to be emotionally inspired or motivated in the moment, because we all know that emotions fluctuate. Therefore, if someone's going to make a change, we need something a little bit more consistent. So the truth is, the first thing I hope you guys take away from today is everything I tell you, I want you to try find a motivation for change that you both have evidence for and you strongly believe in from a cognitive cerebral perspective, but also that you can connect to some emotion, something that drives you. We're human beings, we're driven by meaning and emotion. So if you can't find that meaning and emotion, then we don't really have much of a consistency and you're going to end up kind of going through those yo-yos. So I don't know what you guys can see here, but we're going to start with the heart, okay? And this is mainly directed at my parents because this is a really nice way for me to inspire my parents without them knowing that I'm talking to them. So how do we get people to make change? The best way to get people to make change is to actually pretend that we're talking about someone else. I'm sure the rabbi does this. Like, let's just talk about a friend of yours. You know, what would you say to your friend? What would you do if, what would you recommend your friend to do? So I'm going to ask you guys, let's start off by thinking, you know, what would you want for someone that you love very much? So think of all the health, the happiness, the vitality, the longevity that you want right now available for them. Okay. Whether they're your, you know, your grandkids, you want them to be strong and healthy. You want them, you want your kids to be, you know, energized and you want them to be feeling good about themselves. Whether it's your parents and you just want your parents to be around to enjoy your kids, to enjoy your grandkids, whatever it might be, think right now, use all your emotion to come to that point where you're thinking, what do you want for them? And then turn it on its head. Don't turn it on his head and think, what do you want for yourself? Think, what do they want for you? Because I can tell you now that if you were to ask me what I want for someone else and then reflected that back to me, I would be well more emotionally connected to it than if I were to think, you know what, it's just me. No one minds if I go for a walk today. No one minds how my energy is today. No one minds, you know, if I'm, you know, 100% healthy today. No one minds. One thing we can often do is use the power of community, use the power of connections, use the power of others to reflect back on ourselves. So once you know what others may want for you, let's go to our ever forever willingness for the BINA acronym that's gone all around Israel. By the way, it went viral in Israel, thanks to Rav Gerari. Stay safe, stay sane, stay spiritual. Okay, so even though now we're talking about, you know, relaxing our regulations, we're in the gray, as Rabbi Gerari likes to put it. I personally, if anyone knows me, I'm more of a black and white person. This is hell for me, this gray concept. Should I wear my mask? Should I not wear my mask? Should I put on gloves? Should I not? Did I bring my hand sanitizer? It's very confusing. It's all like self-motivated. But anyway, we're in the gray now. That still means these three things stay very pivotal in our understanding. So when it stays safe, Rav Gerari made it very clear. He meant put on the mask, don't go to a minyan in those times, keep yourself away from disease. Stay sane, it was very clear. Make sure you're doing something that is healthy for your emotional state. Self-nourish, take time out, do whatever you need. Stay spiritual. I'm pretty sure he wanted you guys to connect to him on BINA, but I think generally he just wanted you to stay spiritual, even though BINA is an amazing group of people that can share and spread and increase your spirituality. So I'm going to now take these three things and slide them through health and exercise, and let's see how we go. Because one of the things I've noticed is that when we talk about our fear and using motivation towards getting healthier, well, the pandemic did pretty well. It told us there were going to be thousands of deaths this year from corona. It told us that if we don't do these things, if we do these things, we can prevent this many thousands of deaths. So I'm going to suggest that you take that energy and now reflect it onto your health. So I can tell you now, just according to the, I think this is the Bureau of Statistics, it said that this year or every year in Australia, about 10,000 men and about 8,000 women are going to die due to coronary heart disease. Okay, we also know that dementia is one of the second largest killers, and people might think, well, there's not much we can do about that. That's incorrect. There are genetic predispositions. However, we can prevent the onset. We can minimize the severity of some, not all, Alzheimer's disease, as well as some people can even avoid, getting the disease through lifestyle interventions. There's cerebrovascular disease, okay, lung cancer. It's not just for people who smoke. And chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, people call it COPD. So these are the top things that kill us. And we can see from that there are numbers. We know that if we do nothing, if we continue doing what we're doing, this is what will happen. Yet we know, if you look to the right over here, if we do some of the preventable strategies, we know we can avoid some of these. We could exercise, not necessarily with a mask, but we could exercise and we could bring this number down. We could eat some more vegetables, bring this number down. We could help someone stop smoking, we can bring this down. We can send someone to some CBT to improve their stress management, do some meditation, reduce alcohol consumption, unless it's Kiddush on Shabbos. All right. So let's take a look then about comparisons. There was a statistic, once again, the Bureau, I think this was just under the Government's Institute. They basically said that more people will die of obesity-related diseases worldwide. That's including Italy and the USA. And let's be honest, we know they didn't do so great right now, than COVID-19. And look how much the world's turned on its head. I don't see any like pandemic going on for obesity, although we've been trying to fight it. There just happens to be no mask to put on to protect us. Although Rabbi Karari did suggest wearing a mask all the time would help us reduce our consumption of food. If that doesn't mean enough to you, we do also know that all the studies have shown that anyone who does have challenges with their health, whether it's obesity or just any challenges with their health, they are at 80% higher risk of having complications with COVID. So even if you think this is going to be, we're reducing the restrictions, this is going to be gone, everyone in the epidemiology departments know that this is going to be around for years. There is no reason why this is going to disappear. We definitely might get it under control, but every time you travel, every time someone comes from overseas, it'd be very unlikely that we kind of eradicate COVID in the near future. So if you're looking to reduce your risk, one of the best ways to reduce your risk is actually to improve your health. Same thing with cancers, We might think, what am I supposed to do? It's a disease that takes over our bodies. There's nothing I can do to prevent it. Well, similarly to the contributing factors of lifestyle disease, they pinpoint smoking, poor diet. I'm sure you guys are seeing a pattern here. Alcohol, insufficient exercise, being overweight, sun exposure as lifestyle choices that can be changed to minimize the development of cancers. Let's move on to staying sane. Okay, so the good news for God people, the good news for good mood, apologies, that was a Freudian slip for God mood, is that if we want to stay happier, we know, so this is from, these are journals from around the world, usually from Nature, usually from Science, that levels of regular physical activity have been shown to have higher levels of positive emotions. So people who participate in this have higher levels of positive emotions, such as interest, excitement, enthusiasm, alertness. I happen to be a little bit alert and excited right now because of adrenaline and nervousness. I'm not saying I'm at my peak of exercise, but I do know that the more I do, the better I feel. Okay, short bursts, so just to put it in perspective, short bursts of just 10 minutes of a brisk walk have been proven. I'm not just putting this out there like, oh, let's just bring it down, make it easier for you guys. 10 minutes. Rabbi Grayer, you'd love this. This is like between. You could like do a shiur, do a 10-minute brisk walk, come home. You would increase mental alertness, energy, and positive mood states. Literally 10 minutes of a brisk walk. Okay? Just to give you a general understanding, definitely the overall recommendations of aerobic exercise are 30, 35 minutes a day, 3 to 5 times per week. That's the general. That's what we get told. We all know that. Okay? Then there's the 50-50 news for stress. Doesn't mean, I don't think there are other stress management things out there, but exercise actually only helped about 16 out of 31 people. So, you know, it's definitely something I use personally to manage my stress. If I am stressed, I'll get up, jump around, do some star jumps, get my heart rate up. So I'll sit down and I'll feel a lot better. I'm not saying it's for everyone, but they did show that highly active individuals tend to have lower stress rates compared to lower active individuals. Okay, anxiety, if we're wanting to stay sane, it'd be really nice to stay away from anxiety. And this one is good news. So increasing physical activity resulted in reduced anxiety for 19 intervention studies. So that's called a meta-analysis, where we get all the studies in one area, we pull out everything that relates to our topic, and then we compare the results of all those studies. That's a meta-analysis, and that clearly showed that if you want to improve your management of anxiety, you need to be physically active. Okay, there are certain particular kind of four things that stood out when you did want to kind of manage your anxiety and stay physically active. One of them was that you had to do moderate or high intensity. Okay, so that means moderate's like, I wouldn't want to be having a deep and meaningful conversation with the person next to me, but if they were to speak to me, I could talk to them. High intensity means I'm not really able to talk much. So just using that kind of breathless level to understand. Physical activity that was supervised tended to be better for anxiety, as well as delivered in an individual basis rather than a group. And it was also really important for the anxiety to stay away that they were encouraged post the intervention to continue training in something like a fitness center. I don't know in Australia if the fitness centers are open, but in Israel, they're letting people in. So let's look at spiritual. Spirituality, I'm a huge fan of Rav Kook. If you guys are ever here, you should go see his home in Yerushalayim. It's amazing. He actually was, you know, one of the leading rabbis in integrating spirituality together with the body, together with the Rambam. And he actually, when he was just talking about tshuva, so just about, you know, returning to your spiritual self, he actually said that the first step to return to your spiritual self, he said, you need to do tshuva of the body. Okay, so what is tshuva of the body? What he meant by tshuva of the body was you have to return your physical health to its maximum, to be a clear, to be a vessel to receive the maximum spirituality. Okay, he also wrote that our physical demand is great. We need our healthy body. Through our intense preoccupation with spirituality, obviously he wasn't talking about some of us, we forgot the holiness of the body. And that might be true of some communities. So we neglected our physical strength. We forgot that we have holy flesh, no less than holy spirits. And I found that really powerful because sometimes people say exercise might be bittul Torah, might be, you know, you're creating worthlessness or belittling the use of your time to study Torah. Whereas here it's very clear that it should be the first step to create health in order to be able to receive your spirituality through Torah. Let's go to the, you know, Chamshei Torah, the five books of Torah, and it very clearly says in Deuteronomy, you should carefully guard our lives, okay? In order to guard our lives, it's not just about putting on masks, gloves, and sanitizer gel. It's also about making sure that the ones that we have to work a little bit harder at, that don't can't just buy at a shop, that the areas of exercise, health, nutrition, all that, that we also put in the equal amount of effort. So Rambam explains that having a whole and healthy body is part and parcel in serving God. For it's impossible to have an understanding of the Creator if a man is ill, man or woman. Therefore, one must avoid all things which damage the body. So obviously staying away from infectious disease, staying away from pollutants. And one should habituate, and I love that he used that word, habituate oneself with things promoting health. Okay? So very clearly, okay, if we were to take the three principles that I know strengthened me through, you know, our lockdown, quarantine, we called it bidud here, isolation period, the stay safe, stay sane, stay spiritual. Those three principles very clearly direct us from a cerebral, from a cognitive perspective towards at least increasing our exercise, slightly improving our nutrition, looking at ways to promote either cessation of smoking or reduction of smoking, looking at our alcohol consumption, making sure it's okay, and thinking of management strategies for our stress, not just thinking, well, if I'm protecting myself from a disease, I'm doing God's will. I'm doing everything I need to do, okay? So obviously when I was going through the cerebral, for me, I'm someone who's very logically directed. So as soon as you tell me this is what I should do, I find it quite motivating to then say, all right, what are my things I need to tick off? How am I going to go and do it? Okay, so I'm going to take you guys through that, but I want to always keep coming back to that is not enough. Just knowing that this is a larger killer, anything that we do towards our chronic illness is a larger killer than COVID-19, doesn't mean emotionally you're going to be more fearful of it, even though logically we should be. Okay, what we need to do is connect it to a positive family situation that is going to drive us towards better health. If you want to be around, able to lift your grandkids off the floor, if you want to be around to be able to, you know, walk with your kids and run with them and play soccer with them, then you're going to need to be at maximal health. So here are my three steps to success. I'm not as smart as Rav Gerhari, so I don't have a really cute acronym where I could make them all start by the same letter and actually make it make sense. So I just used any letters to begin my acronym. And the first one is know the goals. Okay. If you don't know where you're heading, if you don't know what Hashem expects from you in your physical health, then it's really hard for you to start moving in any direction and to even know if you're going in the right direction, okay? The next thing you need to do is always make a plan, okay? If you're going to make a plan, we usually start with what's called a cheshbon, taking like an accounting of where we're at. And we're going to make a plan that we know is going to help us be, I guess, successful. A client of mine always says, if you can't measure it, then you can't manage it. And they use that for work. And now she started to use it for her health. And it's made a huge change to her health. And the last one is always put into action. A big thing that, you know, always happens whenever I go to talks is I walk out thinking, wow, that was an amazing idea. I can't wait to, I don't know, experience all the benefits of that elevation of my soul. And within like a day or two, nothing's changed in my life because the inspiration itself wasn't enough. So let's start with the tzaddik. This is the health tzaddik, the health, the righteous person. This is the person who drinks 2 liters a day of water. Okay. In summer, a little bit more. They sleep 7 to 8 hours a day. They manage their stress to keep it low. And they meditate about 5 to 10 minutes a day. They exercise about 30 minutes to 1 hour on most days a week. Most days usually means 5 to 7, but lucky for us, Sydney is nice and hilly and we have to walk up and down hills to get to shul. So that can be counted as an exercise day. Just don't get too much of a sweat up. So you have to have a shower. Strength exercise, about 20 to 30 minutes, two to three times a week. We should be actually stretching daily, okay? We should be only consuming 1 to 2 glasses of alcohol. So that's about 100, 120 milliliters of red or white wine a day. And that's every week. We can do that. Some people say you should have a dry day, but that hasn't actually been scientifically proven. You should be smoking nothing. However, if you are smoking, any reduction will be of great benefit to you. And food, we should be having at least 2.5 cups. Of a variety of vegetables a day. And now that's a bit challenging, but that would be a whole area to work on if it was something to work on, because like everything, I'm a big fan of the laws that are like, you know, the ta'aseh laws, what I should be doing. And I love when God says, you know, you should be eating these things, you should be doing that. What I find a little bit more challenging is the lo ta'aseh laws that like, you know, stay away from these things. Don't be eating the cakes every day. Don't be eating the rugalach. So if I were you, I would definitely start looking at the vegetables if it's something you're interested in. Looking for only lean proteins, which means obviously the fat's been trimmed off, premium minces, those kind of things. Fish oils are really great, fish. Using only whole wheat products, so our carbohydrates, keeping them in the whole grain in their more natural form, higher fiber form. It's really good to reduce our risks of insulin resistance and diabetes. 1 to 2 fruits. It's not an essential, but it's definitely a useful snack. Keeping our salts low, especially if we have something like hypertension or blood or heart disease issues. And keeping foods closer to their whole food process. So that if you can remember how that food used to look by looking at it on your plate, you've got a much better chance of it being healthy than if the product in front of you looks nothing like the original thing Hashem created. So in front of you right now is the tzaddik. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I might have a goal to reach nice high levels of spirituality and nice high levels of physicality, but I don't hold myself too depressingly accountable by falling slightly short in a few areas. But the one thing I'm always working on, and the one thing Hashem always asks from us, is that we take steps towards improvement and that we actually appreciate and have gratitude and experience the pleasure of the improvements of each step. So when I was a Baal Teshuva and I just started taking on lighting candles, it wasn't like, oh, I'm lighting candles, but I'm not doing this, therefore it's all not worth it. It was, I'm lighting candles, this is great. A mitzvah leads to a mitzvah. I can't wait to see what I'm doing in 2 months. I can't wait to see what I'm doing in 6 months. I can't wait to see what I'm doing in a year. I might even be living in Israel in another 10 years. God forbid, my parents were shocked. So since we weren't all born a tzaddik, what should we do? So the first thing I would recommend, and I hope some of you guys have a piece of paper, a pen, or everyone knows we just write in our notes on our iPhone, is I really recommend you finding your source of psychological and emotional motivation. And I don't mean finding it, thinking it, putting it to the side and moving on. I mean like bringing it to the forefront of your mind so it's available when you open the fridge. So it's available when you feel tired in the afternoon and you don't want to go out for a walk. I want it to be right there on the tip of your tongue. So if someone were to say, why are you doing this while you're out on a walk? That actually happened to me. I was walking around. We used to do walking meetings at one of my corporate jobs in Sydney. And I was saying, oh, it's so great to see you out walking. I always see you out walking. I said to this woman, she's like, I'm doing this for my grandkids. And I was like, whoa, like literally it was on the tip of her tongue exactly why she was out in the boiling heat every day at about 12:30 walking around the building. And I really found that the perfect example of what I'm trying to share with a lot of my clients, with a lot of my family and friends, is that it's not just about knowing it's good for you. And it's not just about knowing why you're doing it. It's about literally mamash having it in your face, in your heart, in your soul, every time you need to act on it. So that's number one, okay? Number two is you need to take a cheshbon of where you're at. I'm assuming, and if you are already here, kol hakavod, call me, and I want you to help me reach all of these things. It would be great. You can be my health coach. I'm assuming that, you know, we're not all perfect in these areas. And there is more to go from here. I'm talking about the simplified version of, you know, getting us to be a Beinoni, a good Jew, a simple Jew standing in front of Hashem, a simple physical kli for the receiving of Hashem's blessings. So how do we do that? If I were you, I'd first take an accounting of, you know, just see how much water are you drinking a day? How many cups of water? Every cell lives, survives, swims in an ocean of not just the oral Torah, but also in an ocean of water. So what are you going to do? You need to give it that bath. You need to give it to it. It doesn't come out of the air, especially in Yerushalayim. It's 40 degrees now. And I just walk outside and like, I feel like my mouth is parched. So we need to be consuming the water. See where you're at with your sleep. See where you're at with your aerobic. Don't judge yourself if you don't do any exercise. I just came from a client this morning. Out of 50 points in this area, she got 3.5. Which means I think maybe she drank one cup of water, did no exercise, sleep was good, and that was it. And yeah, she has where to go, but I told her, let's go from 3.5 to 10. And she chose an area and we said, we're going to work on having 2 extra cups of water a day. And I can tell you now, in 2 weeks, she'll come back to me and she will have nailed her 2 cups a day. And she'll be very grateful for the fact that not only is adding 2 cups a day helping her move towards her health goal, but it's also something that doesn't feel overwhelming. Like as soon as the corona world goes back, she'll have to stop. It's something that feels realistic, habitual, like the Rambam said, habitual and maintainable. So we want to take a cheshbon. We want to see where our shortcomings are and where we can improve. Okay. And then we want to choose a tiny, and I'm going to say this 3 times, tiny, tiny new habit to improve on. Not because I want you guys to all stay unhealthy for as long as possible and then make me feel really good about my profession and its growth in the current corona industry. What I'm really wanting you guys to do is realize that in order to make changes, both spiritual changes and physical changes, you can't just walk into the Rav's office and say, all right, I believe in God, I'm going to take on all 316 mitzvahs, even though that's impossible. I'm going to go and do everything. What does he say? I'm pretty sure this happened to me. I actually went to Ellie Feldman. He told me, you know what? That's great. I'm glad you're all into this. That's fantastic. Just go light Shabbos candles. It was the first thing he said to me, and come back in like a month. I was like, a month? You think it's going to take me that long to find candles, light them every Friday night and do it? Like, Markesha, what's the problem? What he was saying was, it's not the only the physical act that you're rewiring. He's saying it's the neuroplasticity. It's the cognitive act that you're rewiring. It's the, I'm now moving towards a direction, and I need my head to catch up to my heart. I need my heart to catch up to my head. They've got to be always traveling together. So when I say take something small, I mean create small goals towards where you're going, and then make a simple plan for your success. Okay. In order for that to do, I often recommend getting someone to do it with you, because it's a little bit challenging. Like everyone, when you're a Bolshuva, you've got a Rav guiding you. If you're going through therapy, you've got a therapist guiding you. If you're learning something and, you know, a new trade, you need someone to guide you through the steps. I would highly recommend getting someone to guide you. However, if you just want to get started on your own, or you're looking for something on your own, without a doubt, there are very simple things that you can get started with. And my first action plan, because Hashem only helps those that help themselves, there's that saying, you know, you open a hole the size of a pin, and Hashem will make it the size of a banquet. I would have loved your help then, Rav Gerari. You're just nodding along, not telling me what the saying was. All right, if it's anything like that, I apologize. But whatever, the idea is, you do the pin, he does the banquet. You do the little, he does the big. You need to bring him into even your physical process, even your physical movement. But what I do really encourage is getting out there straight away. Don't do what I did when I used to come home from Rebbe's and Gerari's Shabbos shiurs and be like, wow, that was amazing. I love Psalms. I've learned so much about them. I'm going to start, you know, reading them all the time. And then I waited till next Shabbos. Like, that's way too long. You need to take an action straight away, whether the action is even just writing down where your head and your heart at with behavior change. I know my parents, for the first time, it took Corona. Rabbi Gerari always says that Corona's spread his reach, geographical reach, to people. Well, for the first time, I did an exercise session with both my parents in front of Zoom. It was probably the most hilarious thing I've ever done. The camera fell 4 times. They held hands, they laughed. But those 10 minutes were more than I've ever done with them. And I'm telling you, that had the chance. Then I sent them the video. They obviously laughed through watching it instead of doing it, but then I'm sure they're going to do it again. That video now has the power to keep going for them. And the only reason it worked was because as soon as Dad said, oh, we really should do exercise, I said straight away, tomorrow, let's do a Zoom. Then he was like, oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, I'm busy. I don't know. I mean, really? You think we can do? So until you bring in that immediate action requirement, you don't even know half of your excuses. You don't know how to overcome them. So start straight away. I would find an accountability partner or a professional. You don't actually need a professional. A lot of groups here in Israel, they have like WhatsApp accountability groups. It's just exercise buddies, lots of groups. I'm sure even Binah wouldn't mind having a holy body, holy soul WhatsApp accountability group. You know, what exercise did you do today? Who's done their 10-minute walk? Rav Gerari taking pictures of his sweaty beard running up and down the Waverly stairs. Who knows? Who knows what goes on out there? Or really, he's just out there watching everyone else exercising. But I would find some way of creating some accountability, okay? Because we don't need accountability to like guard over us and punish us when we do something wrong. We need accountability sometimes just to reflect with, just to help us overcome challenges and barriers, simply because our health is not the only thing going on in our life. It was the only thing going on in our life and the only important thing in our life. I'd say do it on your own. You've got this. I'd probably still recommend someone, but you've got a better chance. The fact that it's not the only thing in our lives is going to be a little bit more challenging. And then the biggest thing, like I said, even though we're not tzaddikim, we fall much like the tzaddikim. They fall 7 times, we fall 700 times. Okay. And just because we fall 700 times doesn't mean we give up, and doesn't mean it's not going to happen for us, and doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with us. What it means is we need to brush ourselves off, find our accountability partner or a professional, reevaluate, and start again with the planning. Go back to here. Oh, okay. Of course, the button doesn't work. Go back to here. What is your motivations? Where are you at today? Whether you've fallen all the way back or just half the way back, choose a tiny habit. Set up your plan. Go back to the framework. Okay. My last one and my biggest one is, I have no doubt if Hashem can help me earn an income in Israel, which is nearly impossible for most people, including myself, then I would never lose hope in miracles occurring, because miracles do occur. And with the help of each other, we can make this less of a miracle and more of an eventuality. And I really hope that if anyone needs more help, they're more than happy to get in touch with me. I really hope Rav Gerari does create his accountability group. And I really am happy to answer any questions, support. I know during Corona, I think you guys are lightning. You can get out more and do more. There are lots of, I guess, individual ways. Some people who had kids at home, they needed a little bit more support. Some people who felt like, you know, they didn't know what to do or needed someone to watch over them while they were doing it. There's all different ways around challenges. Don't give up. Just reach out for more support.
That was brilliant. There's actually been a question here, which is a very Jewish question.
Jewish.
How much challah per Shabbos meal is optimal halachically and nutritionally?
I'm going to start with the Rav on the halacha, just in case I ruin his halachic answer.
Ty, you want to give a halacha answer there?
So halachically, actually, I mean, first of all, it depends on the person's health, but like, I mean, I think Juliet would agree, and I think most Christians would agree, I mean, I've been told that, you know, if you stay off carbs all week and you eat healthy, you do your exercise, to eat a little bit of challah on Shabbos at two meals is not serious. And you don't need a lot, actually. You need what's called a double kazayit, which is basically one slice of good challah. It's like one big slice of challah. It's all you need, really, halachically. It's hard to stop after one slice, especially if you used to good challah. But it's not a huge amount.
Okay, from a health coaching point of view, I would agree with Rav Gerari, keeping carbohydrates low through the week. If you know Shabbos is gonna, I don't say no carbohydrates, but keeping it low through the week, unless you've got like diabetes or insulin resistance, is fine. And then on Shabbos having it, but you want to look at challah as like your carbohydrate for that meal. You want to think, well, okay, if I'm eating the challah, do I also need to eat the potato kugel, the potatoes, the rice, the extra carbohydrates for that meal? So it's really also what you're putting together with it. And then am I on top of that going to have more carbohydrates for dessert? Like I'm going to have a cake, and or am I just going to have a little bit of fruit, which has also got high carbohydrates? So it's really about putting everything into perspective. I mean, I wouldn't call challah the devil, but number one, there are ways to make challah healthier. I mean, there are healthier challahs than not, more whole grains, more ancient grains like spelt, definitely digests easier, lower GI levels, which means a slower breakdown of the sugars. We could also look at using alternative to high sugar challahs. I don't know, I don't want to name any brands, but some brands are much higher in sugar and oil than others. If you're making homemade, you're more in control of that kind of thing. You can use coconut sugar, which has got the lowest glycemic index. You can use avocado oil if you're a millionaire, or you can just use virgin olive oil. But I would really recommend seeing it more as the correct, I guess, making it as healthy as possible, eating the halachic amount, unless you're obviously gluten intolerant, in which you don't need to eat it, or if it really is dangerous to you, in which you don't need to eat it. And then making sure you only actually have that amount at the table if possible. So why put the temptation in front of you? I don't know if this is like a Scottish saying or a religious saying. I get my things confused, but like, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. Like, if you know it's your challenge, don't put your favorite challah five rolls in front of you, you know, while you're not having anything else while you're eating. So, you know, portion out, just make a small challah if it's two of you, make a medium challah if it's three of you. Make your life easier, reduce your use of your, you know, limited resource of self-discipline at that meal.
That is a Jewish saying, actually. It's in the Torah.
Not Scottish?
I mean, it could be also.
I didn't know if it was a joke. I didn't know if it was a joke or a Jewish saying.
That's right. There's been another question here. Is it true that we can eat more if we exercise more?
That is 100% incorrect. Okay. It is nearly impossible. Like, unless you're a marathon runner, that would be correct, actually. I lied. It's nearly impossible to out-exercise a bad diet. Like, the amount we burn from exercise doesn't really equate to the energy density of food in today's world and the amount of time you'd need to exercise to burn it off. That doesn't mean exercise isn't valuable for weight loss. Obviously, there's metabolism, there's balancing hormones, balancing insulin. There's lots of benefits to it, reduction of risk for mental health, physical health, chronic disease. But if you're thinking like, I'm going to do an hour of this so I can eat this, you'd be very hard to find that calculation to equate very well.
Mm. There's been another question here. Someone wrote to me privately. What would you say are foods that boost energy? And I would just add to that, just from my own side here. What do you say about like energy foods? Like these like energy bars foods? And things like that.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I'm not.
The question was, what are foods that boost energy? That was one question. Okay. And then I'm asking about energy sort of bars and things like that.
Okay. So let's come to the second question. Let's go to the first question first. So what foods boost energy? So ironically, it depends if you're looking for a short burst or a long, maintainable, sustainable burst. So when some people say burst, what they're often saying is like, you know, should I do a shot of coffee before I go to the gym so I'm a little bit more, you know, enlivened so I can do a good session? Some people do that. I don't recommend for or against that, but that's an energy burst. You're going to come down from that within about 20 minutes. Okay, same thing, you know, if I'm really tired at night and I'm craving carbohydrates, why am I craving carbohydrates? Because I'm really craving the breakdown of carbohydrates, which is just, I'm craving either the endorphin release from the breakdown of that, or I'm craving the energy boost from the sugar. So the problem with that is, once again, it's just a short peak in energy, these carbohydrates, these processed simple sugars. So in terms of energy, ironically, which is going to make me sound like I'm, you know, flogging a dead car here, but flogging a dead horse, trying to sell a dead car. But what it comes down to is the more balanced your diet is, if you have your water at the correct levels, if you have your B vitamins, which is like fruit and vegetables consumption, at the right levels. If you stabilize your diet like consistently through the day to keep your blood sugar levels constant through the day, you'll actually notice a much larger increase in your energy than looking for specific sources of energy in superfoods. With that said, the irony comes in that exercise uses energy. However, it's been scientifically proven over and over again that people who exercise regularly, maybe not in the first 2 to 3 weeks, because obviously the body's adapting, but people who exercise regularly with correct recovery periods actually have been shown to have greater energy levels than people who don't exercise. So people might have found that during Corona, they thought, oh, I'm doing nothing, I should have lots of energy all day, but they've noticed their energy's plummeted. It's because we don't realize that we're actually a recharging battery machine, that the more we move, the more we recharge our battery. The less we move, the more it dies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want your super food? You want your little supplement bars answered?
Yeah, did you answer that?
Not yet. So the supplement bars, so people who have those, you've got to really look at two things in those bars. One, you've got to see how much added like simple sugars they have in there. So if they're just giving you a quick boost or if they're actually stabilizing your boost. And then you've got to look at the overall, I guess, whole products in there. So how much is a highly processed foreign synthetic product? And how much is it like they've just crushed up some dates and put some nuts in there and sold it to you for $20?
Okay. What would you just, I think we'll end off with this question. If someone is incredibly busy, and you know they find it hard to find time to exercise, what would you recommend, sort of, you know, in between doing things, sort of, you know, to find good opportunities to do exercise without having to clear a lot of time on your schedule?
Yeah. So I guess there's two answers to that. It's very individually dependent. It's like someone saying, you know, tell me what mitzvah to choose next. Well, I don't know what mitzvah to choose next to grow in, but I can tell you there are like some principles that it would go by. So the number one principle would be, you can't add exercise into your day if your day finishes on zero in like full depletion. If you actually have nothing if you haven't created that source of energy to be able to be directed towards exercise, then I would start with what's called the preparation phase of action, which is creating some kind of, I don't know, time to yourself that, you know, you put out for something that you enjoy. And then you might take that time and move it towards exercise. It's quite hard to take the time you don't have and move it towards exercise. or the energy you don't have, the motivation you don't have, and move it towards exercise. So start by finding some time for something really pleasurable, enjoyable by yourself in your day, and then transfer some exercise, some meditation, some healthy habit into that moment. That's number one. Number two would be a big part of exercise, which is totally underappreciated. And if anything, I've said this, my cousin once came to a talk on something I called incidental exercise. And she's like, you mean accidental exercise? I was like, no, Vanessa, it's incidental exercise. Incidental exercise means don't think you have to change into your sports gear. I mean, Baruch Hashem, I dress in my sports gear every day. It's quite easy for me to like jog somewhere, do something. But for most people, it's not that way. You know, you guys are wearing your suit and ties. Levy, where's your tie? But the point is, you guys need to think, well, okay, where in between my day can I get to, can I get to things? Where can I, you know, walk up escalators? Where can I jog around, you know, walk from the car to the mall? My mom always loves to find the closest parking spot. Why? It just makes her feel like Hashem loves her. If she gets the closest parking spot to those escalators, literally it's like her face lights up as if like I've just told her she's got another grandkid, which she doesn't, but we could have. So you need to kind of rewire that thinking of a little bit more exercise, a little bit more movement is an opportunity, is a gift. So that incidental is something I wouldn't minimize. You can use those trackers to help you kind of quantify it and then set goals and make plans. But if you're looking for, you know, that time, if you find it hard to get it by yourself or you find it hard, always groups can help. The motivation, accountability, I'm going for someone else can also help.
Brilliant. Okay, we're going to end it there. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming, everyone. I wish I could talk to all of you.
Thank you all for coming and joining us. Great to be all together. And Juliet from Israel, thank you for taking your time to be with us tonight. And yeah, wishing everyone a lot of health and strength. And we should all only be healthy and good.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so, so much. That was incredible.
Now my dad's clapping. He's so cute. He doesn't know no one can see him. Thanks,
guys. Very, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Everyone's leaving. Hi. Oh, Nikki. Leslie, Sharon. Hey, Paul, Judy. Nina Garari. Oh my gosh, my hero. Oh my gosh. This is so cool. Leslie, yay. Yay. You look great. And you're a grandma, mazel tov. Peter, yay, bye Peter. I hope you learned something, even though I know you don't like listening to me. This is great, Rob, we should do this every week. Hey, Sharon's there, yay, Sharon. This is brilliant. I don't speak to these people. Why don't we just have like a big thing every week? This is brilliant. Do you need to go? Do you need to cancel this thing?
No, I'm good, don't worry.
Okay, sorry. I'm loving it. Sharon, you look great.
No, Mom! I'm gonna actually unmute everyone so you can have a schmooze.
Okay.
Here we are.
Hey, Mom! I didn't mention you this time, did I?
Good.
Oh, no. I always get in trouble for mentioning you.
Okay. That was great. So nice to see you.
You look amazing. I hope Corona's treating you well. I miss your shiur.
I miss you.
You're not doing Zoom on Shabbos? That's so strange. This is such an amazing community, Rob. Does this